I don't think we can get much better than this. Pretty low energy tonight, boys. Pretty.
I just saw my family, and then I had to leave them to go do this.
And here we are with the Courage the Cowardly Dog podcast known as Liquid Courage.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We did it.
We're here.
It's been a hot second. Maybe for, well, yeah, for
it might
you
have been a
listen.
hot month.
For you, listener, it's been a minute. Get us a sponsor.
Did you want me to get you a sponsor?
Nope.
It'll be Raid Shadow Legends, you know
it's
it.
Gonna, yeah.
And is there a problem with Raid Shadow Legends?
Get me a sponsor
yes.
that I can retire on, and then I can promise consistency.
I don't think you know how that sponsorship works.
I think I do. Yeah. We're here. We're gonna record.
Yeah, we're gonna do our best.
It's
because
it
we
is,
love you.
It's an early recording session, so our energies are in wildly different positions.
Give
I
them
have,
a few minutes to drink. They'll
I
help
haven't
you
I haven't taken my nap.
I was gonna say 7:30 is early. That's June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For us to be to this point, yeah.
For me, it's early because I don't have as many drinks in the system as I normally do.
Oh, I just think in general it's early, but we are here to talk about everyone's favorite, an enjoyable dog, which is Courage, and that's what we are to do today. And
we're
my favorite dog these couple episodes. He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, we're closing in on the end of season two.
Here, I thought we were going to talk about Marmaduke.
That's no one's favorite dog. So Marmaduke's very dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows that, right?
Marmaduke's been dead for years.
Yeah, has to have been.
Right?
Yeah. But we're here, and we're
but
first...
What about Clifford? No, he just went to the farm.
Also dead.
Also dead. Dead
Clifford
cancer.
Clifford would have lasted, like, collectively 5 years.
And what a destruction
because,
spree that he would
yeah,
have put
because
on.
when you have a dog, the larger the animal, the faster it dies when it comes to dogs. Not other animals for some reason, but dogs, the bigger the dog, the shorter the lifespan.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he had like 3 months? Is that what you
yeah,
telling
Yeah, like 5 years, you know? Like, what was it? What was the name of that? What was the name of the kid in that?
I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know, dude.
Is it Emily Grace?
When was the last time you read it?
Emily Marie.
Dude,
I can't remember.
Dude, all I remember about Clifford the Big Red Dog is Clifford the Big Red Dog. All
right.
Allow me to suffer through that sentence again.
I remembered his shits were the size of buildings.
Volkswagen Beetles.
Whatever.
Emily well, Elizabeth, sorry.
Emily Elizabeth.
All right, anyway.
Two first names, yeah. My favorite.
All right, so we're back.
Correctly.
We're back. We're closing in on the near end of the season for season two. So that's fun. Boys, what has been your season two?
Good. There's
I like
been a
it,
lot of
yeah.
good episodes, yeah. A
lot more production value than season one.
They, to me, though, there is kind of a hit miss, like one good, bad. Sometimes it's two goods and one bad, but it's
yeah,
right.
And by goods, I mean real good, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
just talking like, oh yeah, that was fine, but
there haven't been the all rights. It's been like really good or kind of okay.
Yeah
there haven't been any all rights that I could see.
But yeah, Tim, what's your highlight?
For the whole season, the highlight of like
okay, and it wasn't that joke, I'll tell you that much.
Not at all.
I mean it was all right.
Nope, no it wasn't.
Human Habit Trail, always my favorite. It's a small world after all.
Oh good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is the episode I remember the most when I think of Courage. So mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
I
do love that episode.
Yeah,
was this the season with Little Muriel?
Yes.
Oh, maybe.
Let me see.
I think. I think this my. I think we've seen an uptick in production.
Little
yeah,
Muriel
definitely.
Season one.
Yeah. They've been. I feel like they've been more willing to be a little weird and wacky
weird.
With concepts.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
By what do you mean? Weird and wacky.
And by that, I think that's a perfect segue into talking about the first episode that we're dealing with today, which is The House of Discontent, which is a classic Poltergeist episode with a twist.
The Poltergeist is fun. God.
No. No. But yes. But no. Well, it is kind of a...
It's the Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it's an extra-dimensional being, you know?
Yeah, it's some sort of Lovecraftian thing. I'll figure it out.
It's some kind of omnipresent individual. And it answers a lot of questions that we've all had. It? Yeah, about why the fuck do they have a farm? And that answer is, we don't know. Because they don't know. Because
nothing grows, apparently.
Nothing grows. That's been a reoccurring statement that has been made, even though there have been several times where things have grown.
Miriam pulling the eggplants out of the ground. Nothing grows here.
Nothing grows here. But nothing this episode, grows. Yeah, nothing. It begins out in the field where Muriel is reading from the book of prayer about the harvest moon to the harvest moon. She opens a gateway no matter what. Don't, yeah.
And
yeah,
Courage,
that's...
What did Courage do? He was ringing a bell?
He
rings a bell and does a dance to try to revive Eustace's plant. But that plant is very dead, and Eustace is...
Right out of Soma.
Yeah, and Eustace is very fed up with the whole ordeal.
Because nothing grows here.
Nothing grows here.
He's tired of trying...
Yes.
You know, he's tried nothing, and he's all out of ideas.
Nothing grows here.
Nothing.
They can't revive this poor plant, and that, because the plant's been terribly, just not... Okay, I'm going to jump ahead a bit. We find out that the plant was never watered.
Oh, you're just going to give away the whole fucking story.
No, you just gave away the plot twist.
Yeah, no, I'm just really mad at that fact, because that was like, why did you go to prayer and bell worship and summoning water?
This was the drought of 87. They couldn't spare any water. They had
That's horseshit! Did you not see? Anyway, we'll get to that, because that's horseshit. So they go
spare any water.
They go inside and shit starts happening. Muriel gets attacked by everything in the kitchen and begins screaming. Yeah. Eustace is trying to take a bath. He turns up the radio to not hear Muriel screaming. Courage is outside chewing on Eustace's truck seat, which shows that Courage is a bit of a dick.
When he wants to be.
Yeah.
Or that now, he's a dog.
It all just depends on who started the war. Was it Courage or was it Eustace?
Either way, he shouldn't be eating the stuffing from a car seat.
I mean, you're right, but if he's just doing it to piss off Eustace, then I mean...
He still shouldn't eat it, though. Just rip it out. Go bury it like you've buried everything else. He eats it. He swallows that one piece whole.
He didn't get fed this night.
That actually might track for a thing that comes up. And there's this voice that starts saying, get out. And Courage hears Muriel being attacked and he can't get in. So his course of action is to get in the truck and back into the house. And while that's happening, just one sec, while that's happening, Eustace also begins to hear a voice. He gets very scared. And then all of the water shoots out of the house and into the bathroom.
And even where there's no pipes.
Yeah. Well, arguably.
It's like,
we don't
know.
It's where
like
the
that could have been supernatural water from the Harvest Moon.
Ghost water.
The ghost can raise temperature and shut and slam doors.
It can be very squirty. You never know.
Though I will give you, we don't know the plumbing layout of this house. Eustace could have been drunk when he fucking put those pipes in.
Does anybody have the blueprints for this house? We can figure this out. I'm sure someone has made them.
Well, and the other thing that I was thinking of is like...
The disappearing dining room table.
I was like, there's one thing that we have learned is that this house is Mobius as shit. It both exists and doesn't exist.
Turns out Eustace is the next Doctor Who. It just hasn't reached that point yet.
The house is bigger on the inside. And
so
this...
So is Courage, apparently.
Fucking A. Because, yeah, Muriel's being assaulted by fruits and vegetables
and
in the kitchen.
And various products.
And, yeah, and various foodstuffs. Which begs, again, the question of, hey, Harvest Moon ghost, why didn't you hit her with something more substantial? And Courage's solution to this is to pick Muriel up and shove her entirely into his mouth. And that was a time that we all went, okay, it's one of these episodes.
Another fetish born.
Yeah. And we saw that, and then we dealt with Eustace crashing through the ceiling with all of the water, which then also crashed through the floor of the kitchen and into the basement, which sometimes extends under the kitchen, but sometimes doesn't.
Right.
And that's where they see a floating disembodied head.
It's not even, like, incorporeal. Like, you can't see. It's just...
No, he's just a big...
He's just a big face. Yeah.
Not
just
a
big egghead. Yeah, not a farmer. And that's where we find out that Eustace is in fact not a farmer, because the spirit of the Harvest Moon is there to tell him that he's not. And that it's time for them to leave.
The spirits of farmers only coming back because
my God.
Farmersonly.com.
That's amazing.
Only because Eustace tried to find someone new and not a farmer.
Not a farmer.
Get the fuck out.
Not a farmer.
But I'm seeking a farmer.
Not a farmer.
So didn't I apply?
I don't know if you heard me. Not a farmer.
.com.
And that's essentially the Harvest Moon tells them that they have to leave because they can't grow anything. And
if every house is like that, I'd be pretty fucked too.
You're bad, and you should feel bad. That's what
they
said.
That's really what he does. And so then they reason with the spirit of Halloween. I know what I said. The spirit of the
Harvest
Moon.
Round three can't deal with this.
And they agree to... He agrees to give them till midnight to grow a crop. Just a crop.
Anything. Just grow something.
Just a singular crop.
Anything. And really, he really only gives them like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of time left. And
it's
literally what's,
impossible, but you know.
Yeah, and what's stupid is that he does this, and Eustace then goes, no.
I
fuck
don't have
you.
To prove anything to you.
I don't gotta prove anything to you, old man. Fuck you.
As Eustace would.
Yeah.
It's in character.
Yeah. And so that, again, falls to Courage, because that's the TV show, to fix the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
And
Courage
is
a shitty farmer, too.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Not a good farmer. Mostly due to the fact that I don't think Courage knows how to deal with plants either.
I mean, he's only had Eustace to look to. Well, he had Muriel too. That's not true.
At what part do you think that Courage doesn't know how to help plants grow?
Well, you know, it took him 4 tries to come up with water.
What
hey man,
what
if
kind
this,
of thing did he
this
use?
Was a cactus though.
It's not, though. Sure. It's a flower. Which is also arguably not a crop, but here we are.
Fuck it. He didn't specify grow a crop. He said grow something.
That's something. And he tries to bring this poor plant back to life through music and an IV drip and other means.
And the sun lamp.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a heat lamp. It wasn't even a sun lamp. It was just a heat lamp.
Been great
don't
if
do that.
We're in a restaurant.
Yeah, don't do that, folks. If
a
your
heat
tomatoes
lamp
are bad.
An already arid area.
Yeah, don't do that. Before he lands on water. How is that four tries before water?
And he didn't... Well, first off, he did try to get some water to the plant, right? With the little water bucket?
That's what I mean.
The water bucket was empty.
Yeah, it was the watering can.
Right, sorry. Whatever.
But, well, I mean, there's a difference between a bucket and a watering can.
Not in my house.
One's got a hole in it, one doesn't.
Yeah.
That's where you're different, because in my house, all the buckets have holes in them.
If your bucket has a hole in it, it's not going to be a very good bucket, is it?
That's why it's used for water.
One would argue it's not a bucket anymore.
You and your fancy New York buckets.
Me and my fucking very standard definition of bucket.
You and your fancy buckets without holes. We here in Kansas don't really take kindly to that.
You're in the biggest metropolitan area in Kansas.
I stand by what I said because I'm still in Kansas.
Guess who's not? Guess who else isn't a farmer?
Also me.
Tim. Tim's not a farmer. He's going to be he's going to be visited by the ghost of the Harvest Moon tonight.
I've been to Atwoods once.
You better grow something in that.
So I'm country.
Did you just put an S in Atwood?
Astwood.
I mean, I thought it was Atwoods. I've been to Atwoods. Atwood. Mm. So it's Atwoods. There's not very many of them, but I've been to multiples.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are these the lies you tell yourself at night to sleep soundly?
The lies I tell to you when I mispronounce a word.
Not a farmer.
So Courage needs water, and he remembers all of the water that crashed into the basement, but, you know, midnight strikes, so the ghost locks all the doors. So the ghost locks all the doors. It's a good thing. It's too bad that there wasn't anything that happened earlier in the episode that could have allowed him to not deal with doors.
Well, to Courage's point, they were in the basement, so he still would have had to try to get the basement door open.
But there's a big hole.
There's a massive hole in the wall of the kitchen, which also has a hole in the floor, which they fell through into the basement.
Oh shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Straight line.
This is a continuity error that made my brain scream. I know it's a cartoon. I don't care. It made my brain scream.
Also, wouldn't it be impossible for them then to, like, be so hot that they would pass out?
Yep.
Because heat rises, so heat would just go out of that hole. Like, uh-huh. It wouldn't be cool down there, but
it would be unpleasant.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be murder.
It wouldn't melt the bathtub that it did.
Yeah, and they would also be way dead before that bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a weird ghost. It could probably heat that shit up faster than it would cool. Who knows? It's the ghost of Harvest Past. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
That's fine. I'll give you this for now. But it does make me, again, infuriated. So Courage takes the next logical step, which is I'll dig all the way under the house and into the basement. And that's what they do. And then what happens when he gets to the basement, though?
Oh.
They're all sweating to death.
Uh-huh. And what about the water?
The pipe, it melted and sand started pouring out of it.
Sand. So how do we deal with this poor problem?
Sweat.
Yeah. Not a great... I guess if it's the only source of water, there you go. But yeah, they use sweat and the plant revives, and that's enough to appease the Harvest Moon, folks.
Yeah, the Harvest Moon's pretty... He's easy.
Yeah, he's easy. He didn't want to kill him, he just wanted them to grow shit, right?
He wanted them to leave.
And then he's like, not a farm.
Which is also another plot hole they have, because as soon as it hit midnight, instead of... making them leave, he closes everything so they cannot leave.
Well, you know, you just murder them at that point. They didn't take your deal.
They didn't take you seriously. Now they gotta pay the price, even if it's just being scared for a few minutes.
They didn't take your deal, so now you murder them.
We also tried to murder them just straight off the bat.
Well, again, poltergeist activity is probably meant to make them leave.
Right, but he locked all the doors, so Courage had to drive the car through the house to get to them.
Yeah, that started out early. He just wanted to... I don't know. Fuck, man.
He just wanted murder. He was just like, I'm going to be the nice guy about this and let you leave, except I'm not going to let you leave.
Yeah, it was weird. I guess... I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Shit's weird.
Big plot hole.
But hey,
yeah.
Eustace is a farmer. He grew a pretty plant, and now he's going to try to sell it for money.
Yeah, because he is now a farmer, and that was the moral of the story, even though the ghost of the Harvest Moon said, you've grown more than just a plant. And Muriel was like, you've grown a little inside. No, he hasn't.
He didn't. He literally did not.
No, he's the same.
God.
That episode was really fun to watch. Upon further review, that was a very... When you just boil it down to the bullet points, that was so fast to explain what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That was so fast.
It's not really a long episode either, so...
It's really not. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be long to be good.
You get some cool effects with the head being live... Live action.
Live
actor.
Action with a weird animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top weird. Head.
With one of the character actors from the show.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It is credited to an actor of Fred Melamed. Excuse me.
I thought you were just gonna say Fred Melon. I'm sorry.
No, Fred Melamed, who's been in fucking so many things. He's a character actor. He's a character actor. He's a voice actor. He's done a lot of shit all the way back to the 1960s. He was pretty prominent on Courage as just like a voice actor to fill in a lot of roles and things.
I was gonna say, I think I've heard his voice before. That makes sense.
Yeah, probably. He's done a lot of different things. So that's fun that he's there, and that again we get to see Dilworth and crew playing with mixed medium of art and animation.
Well, would you boys like to hear some trivia about this episode?
I guess so, Tim.
I have trivia, I have confusions, and I have errors. Let's start with trivia. The episode is called
The
Spirit of
Harvest
Moon.
This is the part of the episode where I get so fucking angry. Like, the minute Tim starts talking, I just want to leave.
He's got 2000s YouTube, like, channel. You see the Comic Sans scrolling in the fucking...
I just want to walk away.
I want to read it like one of those YouTube videos where they just have the most deadpan voice. This episode is called The Spirit of Harvest Moon.
That's a game theory.
God.
This is The Spirits of Harvest Moon, and did you know that the lines don't match up to Courage's eyebrow? This is a huge mistake.
This is cinema sins.
If you like that fact that Chum just said, here's the actual first trivia fact. The Spirit of Harvest Moon is a giant live-action head.
Said that.
No, I didn't. I said the beginning of the episode was called. Oh, yeah. No, I know. This is the first episode where Eustace hasn't said the word stupid.
Stupid fact.
Whoa. I mean, hey, he says stupid in every episode.
Oh, Sheldon Taylor, you guys are going to love this next fact. Harvest Moon is a video game made by Natsume.
That's not a fact.
To do with this fucking episode.
A, that has nothing to do with this episode. B, it's a fact, I guess. But also, the concept of the Harvest Moon has been around for millennia. Like, all of your major... Get through your shit so I can rant.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll get there. The person who sings Happy Birthday Song on the radio is Jim P. Dilworth, the late brother of creator John R. Dilworth, who this episode is also... This isn't the part of the trivia, but...
See, that's a piece of trivia, baby.
Yeah. This episode has been dedicated to him. Not our episode, the episode of the show.
Well, I think both episodes... I think the two packaged together are dedicated. Yeah.
Confusions. This is an episode where Eustace doesn't fall victim to the main villain at the end. I mean, that doesn't always happen, so I don't
also,
know.
Also, not a confusion. I wasn't confused. Were you confused?
No.
All right.
Errors. When Eustace is in the bathroom, and make sure you listen to this closely, he has his radio in the toilet, and the seat is up. However, when he is seen changing the radio station, the toilet seat is down.
I mean, that's continuity error. I'm going to give him that, but still.
So stupid. When Courage drove the truck into the house, at the time, Eustace dropped into the truck and wasn't... What? You should read that, because it's bad English.
Did you just have a fucking stroke?
When Courage drove the truck into the house, at the time, Eustace dropped into the truck, and we didn't
see it at
the time.
That's not how it's written. At the time, Eustace dropped into and the truck was didn't see at this time. That's how it's written.
I know. What they're trying to say is the truck wasn't there when he fell through the... Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we've already covered that.
Nobody cares.
Okay, so I'm going to rant for a hot fucking minute. So... The concept of the Harvest Moon has been around for literally millennia. It comes normally twice a year, once in September and once in like March. It's a time of the year when the moon is really big and normally kind of has an orange tinge to it. In ancient fucking cultures, things like the September equinox showed that it was time to start harvesting your crops. That's what this is all supposed to mean. The idea that some motherfucker out there was like, hey, you know what's a good trivia fact to talk about for this episode?
It's about Harvest Moon.
It's about the video game Harvest Moon, which is again about farming, which is again about the entire idea of the Harvest Moon in general. Like, what type of dense motherfucker was like, clearly, this is an illusion to the Nintendo video game? Yeah, no,
it was a preteen who literally just got into the Harvest Moon, and he doesn't know anything else.
But Courage,
and he wants to be smart, just once, just please, Dad, please, God, just once.
Like
know something no one else does.
I would have been more fucking impressed if they're like, Harvest Moon is the name of Neil Young. A hit from 19 blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, that is a good fact. You're correct. It has nothing to do with this, but thank you for telling me.
Yeah, it would have been better if they would have just worded it.
No, man.
Like,
it's just so silly because it's the illusion that the trivia. Okay, this is the problem we let. This is the problem we let people run things.
All right, that's what we get.
When you have websites that are just ran by people, when you just log in, when you just have an IP address and you can just do whatever you want to things, like, you're right, Harvest Moon is a video game made by them. Very neat. If we're talking about how trivia works for mediums, right? This, if there was like a Harvest Moon reference, like, oh, in this episode, Courage does this, like in the Harvest Moon video game, an allusion to the game that is made by whatever. That's a trivia fact. The fact that there's something else with the name Harvest Moon is not a trivia fact. That's just that's not an interesting tidbit.
Anyone. If they would have added like some other sentence before that, like saying like the Harvest Moon is a reference to festivals that happen in multiple cultures, blah blah blah. And then said, Harvest Moon is also a video game made by Natsume. And then it's like, yeah, okay, that would count.
You'd be like, okay, that makes sense, fine. But it's just that shit that just, it's one of those moments where I know everybody wants to be, I know everyone wants to be considered smart. I know that everyone's trying their best, and I applaud you for trying your best. But think for 30 seconds before typing a sentence on a website that is going to be seen by other people.
Yeah. It's a folly of the internet, because the internet, you can be totally anonymous and you'll never face repercussions for the shit you do.
Well, I'm not telling them to flog this person in the street. I'm just saying.
I'm just imagining Taylor now, just like, boo this man!
I would. It's just one of those things of like, this isn't a trivia fact, and it makes me upset it is a trivia fact, but it is not a trivia fact that is needed to be posted on a Courage thing. It's like every other YouTuber that does a video on courage or other shit that then brings up wildly inaccurate shit that has nothing to do with the topic at hand. And they're like, huh, pretty weird, huh? And it's like, no, it's not weird. It's probably very coincidental if you took 30 seconds to figure it out. Like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And on this episode of Watch Mojo, we're looking at the top 5 courage trivia facts.
I'm gonna hit somebody with the fucking bendy part of a fishing pole.
I live 100 miles away from you.
So it's not gonna be you.
Not me.
But it might be me.
I'm gonna mail this person the bendy part of a fishing pole. Like, you know what to do.
Opens up his... Tim just opens up his mail, and it just has one of the, it's a box, and he opens it, and it just goes, thwack, in it.
Yeah, I spring load it.
Yeah.
I would hate to be the fucking UPS agent that has to check that.
Is that a fishing rod?
I think this has some kind of device there. We better open up and check out.
So, here's a fun thing, is that... There are people on the Spirit of Halloween's wiki page that are talking about how, like, even though this person wasn't a villain, he still scares me. He is a villain.
He's the Harvest Moon. You said Halloween.
He's the whatever. He's the
Spirit of Halloween. Close enough.
He's the antagonist. I'm sorry. He is. There's a bunch of people that are like, this villain scared the pants off of me as a kid. He's probably scarier than King Ramses.
Oh, cool. Did they do a cartoon comic book?
I don't know. And then they went, he's technically not a villain. Yes, he is. He's the antagonist of the episode. He is a villain. Like, he's the villain of the episode. What are you... Folks. Guys. We can't do this.
Oh my god, yeah.
Semantics!
He's a very soft villain.
He's described as a demonic spirit on his own page!
But he's a nice demonic spirit. He let them live.
He didn't kill him, so he's not that evil. He tried.
Cats didn't kill him either!
But he really wanted to.
Yeah, so did this one.
This guy just wanted them to grow something, but fucking Eustace had to be a dick to him.
He was boiling them alive.
But if Eustace would have at least tried, you wouldn't have known what he would have done.
He's a villain. Fuck you. He's a villain.
No, he's a very soft villain.
Oh.
Also, there is a Powerpuff Girls Super Smash Up comic book by IDW where Courage is on the cover, and apparently they go to Courage's world.
Man, that fact fell apart real fast, huh, buddy?
I want to read it, but
you had so much confidence beginning there, and then at the end of that, it was just like, and they apparently go to Courage.
I mean, I haven't read it. I don't fucking know. Do you want me to read the synopsis for issue 1?
No, I know. I just really liked that. That was funny.
But when Tagalog Dee Dee accidentally activates Dexter's newest invention, the entire multiverse is suddenly at stake. Plus, a bonus Courage and Cowardly Dog story by the Glyph.
Bored again.
Oh, so Courage isn't even in that episode.
No.
It's just a bonus story. Fuck you.
Yeah, baby. That's how these work.
I do want to, before we rate this episode, I do want to talk about one thing that happened in this episode. And it happened to the next, but when we get there, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
We totally glossed over the fact of Courage eating all the food off of Muriel.
No, I said it. I just didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to glaze over it, really.
It's weird, man.
Just saying, it's just weird. Just the nice little weird. Vore moment before Vore was really a thing.
Yeah.
God damn.
What if that was the start of it?
It was the start of everything.
I mean, it's about the right time, right?
Yeah. But with that, I'm going to give this episode 4 floating heads of the Spirit of Halloween out of 5. I liked it. It was fun. It was very fast, but it was like a good, like weird one. It had good art. It was, quick, but it didn't feel quick in the moment.
If you don't mind me going next, Sheldon.
Yeah, it's okay. I hope you do what I'm going to do.
I doubt it. I will do 4 out of 5 happy birthday songs by Jim P. Dilworth. 5 out of 5.
Ah. Damn it, he did what I was going to do.
Oh, shit.
Don't worry, I'll mail him 2 boxes with fishing poles ready to go.
Surely he wouldn't do it twice. It's me the fuck.
God damn it.
Instructions on the outside say place on ground, stand over.
God damn it. 4 out of 5 missing JPEGs out of 5.
Yeah.
It's gone. But it was a good show.
Yeah.
And currently I'm also trying to do something, but I can't get it to work. And I don't think I can without... Yeah. Yeah, no.
I like the audio tease. No one will know.
I'll tell everyone. I was... To fuck with you guys, I was going to add some bullshit trivia on the next episode page, but I can't fucking do it.
You have to make an account.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And
I already
have the Liquid Courage podcast account on here. No one else can do it.
It would just be me yelling
the Courage entire time.
Courage's tongue is pink.
Courage
is a dog.
It's fucking stupid.
Eustace is farmer. Muriel is Scottish.
Man.
Fucking dummies.
I hope you,
Cats is a cat. The whale is a whale.
Speaking of whales,
a whale of a tale.
To tell you, lads.
A whale of a tale or two. I would like to say something before you start talking about this whale episode. Which is called The Sandville Strikes. But the synopsis on the wiki, man, really missing out. Like 1 sentence for this episode. Are you fucking kidding me? And 6 paragraphs for last episode?
A whale shows up. He wants his accordion.
Yeah.
There you go. What else do you need to
know? Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I can't argue with Sheldon's roundup. All right, I give it.
We're done. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's it. So the Sandwell Strikes, it's essentially a chase cartoon.
Yeah.
Except better.
Which you know how we sit there.
Yeah, this is way better than Cagey.
This
Ray.
One was more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Sandwell Strikes. And it is a episode in which a sand whale, which is a terrifying concept, shows up to the Bag household and demands that the proprietor of the household,
Ichabod,
fucking Ickit, thank you.
Ickit, there we go. I don't know.
Bag returns his accordion. And if you notice, there's no one in that house by that name. It's because there isn't. Ickit is apparently Eustace's dad, and he is and swindled the sand whale out of his accordion, and I just realized this is like a weird Moby Dick scenario.
Did you not
know that?
No, I did as time went on, but my brain finally just kind of clicked all of the pieces into place.
Oh.
And, we're gonna probably need to bullshit here for a while, because this is gonna be a fast one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, this episode, after this happens, the whale demands this accordion, which Eustace says, "I ain't got it, that's my father," and then Muriel's like... He's no longer with us, alluding to the fact that he's dead, which, again, bold cartoon for talking about death like that.
I think it would have been bolder if he just walked out on Eustace's mom and came back.
Yeah. But the whale goes, "I see him right there," showing that the whale is not very smart. And so we then see a striking resemblance between Eustace and his dad, except for a bushy beard and a hat.
I mean... granted, the whale's probably not that smart, but if...
And also apparently very old.
If your father was just a JPEG of you...
Yeah.
And then, you know, photoshopped a beard on.
True.
I probably would make the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whale, and Eustace goes, I ain't got it. My ma's got it. The whale doesn't believe him, so he starts wrecking up the place. And
whale for president.
Yeah. It continues to be that way. And then at the end of it, Eustace again goes, I don't have it. Ma's got it. And then the whale, in retribution, decides to swallow Muriel and Eustace and jump around a lot until they produce.
I'll the... shake them up.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Until they produce the accordion. And Courage is left alone again. So he has to go to Ma Bag's house, who's been a villain several times this season. But
she's
now is
a. Been,
yeah.
Hero, no.
But now she's chill with Courage. And he explains the scenario. She produces the accordion. And the boat that they have to row across the land.
This is my boat.
To get the whale. Yeah.
Can't touch it.
And they go through this. We find out that Ma is going to not save Eustace, but instead capture the whale, which arguably
is righteous.
You could do both.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. You could do both. Once you capture the whale, just open his mouth. But I guess maybe they won't take him at the whale bank.
The moment the whale notices he's going to be captured, he will swallow his hostages.
He'll chew on the cyanide pin that he's got in his teeth. He'll break the arsenic barrel.
Scenario we've ever been in.
And so they go through this. Hilarity and chase ensue. They try to attract the whale with the accordion.
Because rowing a boat through dirt, isn't that funny?
And it was funny for a little bit, and then Ma falls off the boat. He's got to toss her a life preserver, but then Courage...
That was pretty
funny. Courage then just runs after him. And then they capture the whale, and they get... Courage gives back the accordion. He spits Muriel and Eustace out. Ma tries to catch him, but Courage cut the fucking net because he's an asshole.
Because that'll be what stops you from capturing the whale also. But
yeah, okay, but here's the thing about this, right? Like, Courage. Okay, so Ma Bag is not very great. She lives in a trailer. She's very poor. We've established this. That's been her schemes is get money.
Get money, get bitches.
Yeah. And
question mark profit.
No.
So she wants to capture the whale because the whale sand whales are worth a bunch of money. Courage saves Muriel and Eustace from the whale, who has destroyed their home and attacked his family. And Courage is like, no, you can't catch the whale, and cuts the fucking net. Hey, why?
All right, asshole. Next time I won't help.
Like, holy shit, right? Like, I don't like Ma Bag, but she's justified in her actions, and Courage doesn't make any sense by being like, no, the whale must live.
The whale must go free.
By the way, folks, this is a sand whale. It can pop up anywhere. It's coming to your house. Home.
It'll eat your dog. It'll eat you.
It'll eat your children. And Courage, go.
No, I was just, sorry, the way you guys said that just reminded me, it's like, you wouldn't download a car.
You wouldn't save a sand whale. It wouldn't save you.
Like, it's so weird.
It eats that you alive, boy.
He's cool with that. And then it swallows Ma Bag.
Which is probably the best part of the episode, because then it goes to Muriel, who says, I'm glad everything worked out just fine. And Eustace goes, ah, but he swallowed me, Ma! And Muriel
and
just
I'm
looks
glad
at him.
Everything was just fine.
And turns and goes, well, I'm glad everything has worked out fine.
Yeah. Probably the meanest Muriel's ever been.
Yeah, like outwardly, absolutely. And so, like, this all happens. And then we cut to a whale accordion symphony. And that was he needed it for that. But I just want to go back to, like, inside the whale.
horrible things happen to Muriel and Eustace.
Well, yeah, to Muriel. Eustace is having the time of his life.
He finds his chair.
He finds their refrigerator.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's having a grand old time inside the whale's stomach, you know.
Maybe Muriel's he should live there. Hanging on to uvulas. Getting slapped around by the tongue.
I still don't like that scene.
Just getting a good old tongue lashing, literally.
Hot.
Yeah.
Sticky sweet.
And another Vore thing I just want to point out.
Yeah.
Happening here.
They pick a theme.
Odd. They did. Yeah. They did. This is a children's cartoon.
Yeah, you gotta stick to the theme. It helps the children understand what's going on.
Yeah. And it's fucking weird. It's weird. And again, very quick episode when you really boil it down.
When you break it down to what we've got.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's only two sentences worth on this fucking
page. But, I think we broke it down into way more sentences.
Yeah. I put a lot of periods there.
I think one of my favorite things in this little chase scene, I don't remember if we touched on it too terribly much, but Courage the whole time is kind of leaning over the edge of the boat as he's rowing this sand boat and daunting the accordion off so the sand whale will see that the accordion's over here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a trivia fact.
Yeah, well, he's trying to fish with it. He's trying to fish with the accordion.
Yep.
He's just the whale.
Sounded like one, Tim. I'm sorry.
Has a very distinctive voice. It's the voice of Arnold Stang, who shows up in a couple other episodes too. Just kind of character voice actor.
I want to save that name for a fucking D&D character. Yeah, that's great.
He was known as being kind of a comic actor for a long time. He lived till 2000. He was born in like 1918. He lived to 2009. Excuse me. And he was 90 some when he died. He did a lot of shit. Like, he was in a lot of like blockbuster movies as like the comic relief. Yeah. And did a lot of voice acting and like other shit.
John, I'm glad you thought that was good enough to be a trivia fact, because as I'm looking through some of these trivia facts, they aren't.
Well, no, that was the joke, Tim.
I know. No, this is not a joke.
Really.
These are real bad. There's like two of them that are good. But yeah. Before we get there, is there anything else?
I don't really think so. That's the problem.
Yeah.
These are fast episodes.
Yeah, these two were very fast.
But good. I like them.
Yeah.
Let's hit on the trivia. How about that?
What if we didn't have me? What if you didn't send me screaming into the woods?
First trivia fact.
No.
This is the first appearance of the sand whale in Ikkit Bag.
Ah.
Except we didn't see Ikkit Bag because it's technically we
did. To start playing back. We saw his boot in an earlier season. I count that.
Yeah, that was the first time they mentioned. Yeah. I don't know if I would say
appearance. They never mentioned name. They just said you'd never fill his father's.
No, it's his appearance because he's in a picture, so he appeared on film.
It's just Eustace with a beard, though. Come on.
Yeah, it's a really bad shoot.
No, it's another character that never comes back.
And you'll love
get used to that.
If you like that fact, you're gonna love this one. The returning appearance of Ma Bag.
Dumb.
I don't know why it's returning appearance of Ma Bag.
She's returned a couple times.
Yeah, no, because somebody was just like, here's some trivia.
Filler.
Yeah. After the sand whale chases the Bag family throughout their house, he forced the trio to run up two flights of stairs. As the family is running up the staircase leading to the attic, a portrait of Courage is seen hanging on the wall nearby. That is actual trivia. I'll give it that.
It's there. That's for sure.
Somebody hung it up.
My favorite thing is they actually had to put in quotations, though, pictured to the right, and there is a picture of the picture.
Now we just need a picture of the picture of the picture.
Well, I'm recording the screen, so I have it.
Listen.
Yeah.
The Haunting of Bly Manor needed portraits. Yep. Here we go.
This episode is dedicated to Jim P. Dilworth, the older brother of John R. Dilworth, who died of cancer March 11, 2001, at the age of 42.
That's a trivia, but it's a sad one.
It's a sad trivia, but
the dedication is shown after the sand whale is seen flying into the camera following the episode's The End Scene.
Yeah, this is like the only one of the only Courage episodes that has like an after
a dedication.
Yeah.
Well, a dedication, but after the end scene.
Yeah, they have that scene of the Santa flying towards the camera mm-hmm. again. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was. Yep.
Which is a good shot too. So, do that. This is one of the handful of episodes in the series, and don't get too angry. Where Mob
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now before he fucking says this shit. This is a fucking paragraph. This is a paragraph of a trivia fact, and it's the dumbest fucking thing. Go ahead.
As soon as I started reading it, I knew I had to say, don't get too angry. This is one of the handful of episodes of the series where Ma Bags at least partially portrayed as one of the antagonists or is at odds of Courage in some way or another. In this episode, she calls him stupid accordion-giving dog for attempting to resolve the conflict by returning the accordion to the sand whale.
Another I'm glad episode, I don't follow you guys on this because it's funner just to feel it revealed from you two.
Yeah. Another episode in which Courage provides to be a hindrance to one of Ma's greedy schemes is Scuba Scuba Doo. That last part could have been
why?
Taken out for sure.
Why did somebody write this?
Scuba Scuba Doo, we're coming after you.
I get that Ma Bag is not always the antagonist, but she's never in their favor, right?
Oh, she's never a good person.
Yeah, no, she's never.
The only one that was okay was her first appearance where her and Eustace had emotional breakthroughs.
Yeah, that I agree 100%.
It's like even then. She was still mean to Eustace. She
yes.
Just...
No, so, I know. They're bad
the
people.
The antagonist.
Yes.
Like, technically.
Yes, I know.
So how angry can we make Taylor? Well, this last trivia fact, we'll do
He's already pretty angry.
The accordion sounds similar to Donkey Kong.
How?
There's no way. You can't make that shit up. Someone fucking wrote that.
How?
I just
provide evidence.
Understand. It doesn't sound like Donkey Kong.
Hey, those of you that listen to our podcast, if you are the person that wrote that trivia fact, provide evidence.
Or do something, or write something. Like, it's not even chip-tuned. I don't understand. It's just the accordion sounds. It may be digital
like,
accordion
sounds. Like, what Donkey Kong are they talking about? Maybe it's...
Donkey Kong Country.
Who knows?
It sounded more like the Courage's theme song than it did.
It did. It did, actually, because it mimicked it through part of it, but whatever.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. That was a really bad
stupid.
One.
It's
yeah.
a stupid one. The episode gets four accordions.
Four accordions. Out of five. I will give this one 3.5 Ickit Bags out of five.
Yeah, no.
Sounds like a medical condition.
The reason I'm doing 3.5 is because it's when you look back at it, I like the episode a lot, and I do remember the sand whale episode, and I like mm-hmm. how it ended. I like everything about it. The problem is it's very simple. Like when you think of season one, you think of like Cat's Motel, you think of like everything in that season, and even in this season.
Yeah,
but I'll forget the sand whale.
Yeah,
they're more complex. Right? The story isn't just like, let's jump into a sand boat and fake sand drown. Like, so stupid.
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. If Robin Hood Men in Tights can do it, then...
But they did it before. They did it better.
Yeah.
Fuck. I guess I rate it. Fucking 3.5 graboids out of 5. Because that's basically what the
sandworm
is.
That's what the sandworm is. Yeah, he's a graboid.
He's a graboid with personality. And that's okay in my book.
I'll give you that, yeah. Graboid.
Yeah. You gotta deal with the graboids, baby.
He's a graboid boy.
We're watching Tremors next, guys.
Yeah, it's Tremors cast. No.
No, I'm sure that's a thing.
I'm sure
it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, we are one episode away from the end of the season. Our next one will be the end of season two. It'll be the Tower of Dr. Zalost.
Which is,
and I remember liking that one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
It's a nice episode. There's CGI in it. They really went off on a good point, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It'll be good. We're going to hit it real nice. And
so I do want to ask you guys about something that's courage related, obviously, but there is an article that they've been trying to push into this fandom, and I noticed they've been trying to do it for a while.
I don't like where this is going.
How do you feel about a Scooby-Doo and Courage the Cowardly Dog crossover?
Did that not happen?
I thought it already happened.
Did it happen? Because it...
I feel like they had an episode. Like I feel like it was like the Johnny Bravo one, wasn't it?
No. No, no, because they had an episode.
I know we've
with...
talked about this before. The crossover's happening.
They did a Scooby-Doo episode of Supernatural. Yeah. It just hasn't happened yet. I don't think it has.
Courage
happened.
The Cowardly Dog and Scooby-Doo might be coming.
Yeah,
it's very
so
odd.
It, striking while the iron's hot, boys.
Upcoming crossover direct-to-video film. Do you guys?
Yeah,
want to hear more about it? Just real fast.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah, we do. So this is happening, and the idea is that it's Courage will face against Cats the Quack, Black Puddle Queen, Wearmole, Big Toe, and Cajun Fox once again after they survive their fall in Ball of Revenge, which is an episode we haven't gotten to yet.
Nope,
I think it's in season 3, if I am correct. Season 4. But how do you feel about all these villains coming back? Most of them actually have been in episodes so far.
Well, yeah, I think all of them have.
I find it very strange that they've decided they're
striking it... while the iron is
well,
frigid.
I'm trying to figure out what style they're going to be in.
If
is it
going to
be Courage or is it going to be Scooby?
If I had
well,
to go back, because they've done crossovers before with Scooby-Doo, right? Because they did one
yeah,
with Supernatural.
Not like that. Not like that. I want to know what art style. Is it going to be in, like, the Scoob art style? Because that's the newest movie that came out.
I think they'll find
or
a way
to
do...
going to be like a What's New Scooby-Doo type thing.
No, I think it's a What New Scooby-Doo, because when they did the Supernatural one, it was the, like, not old school, but it was What's New Scooby-Doo.
Because, yeah, currently...
What would Courage look like in a What's New Scooby-Doo?
Well, I think that their animation is close enough that they might be able to pull it off where he's pretty much the same animation where he was before.
Also, close which enough. Dog do you think is going to take the lead?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because there is, fucking Christ, there, it's called Scooby Natural.
Yeah.
Scooby's just in his trailer getting ready, and Courage is like, oh, I'm so glad to be working with you, Scoob.
Ooh. Yes, Scooby's. To be announced, Scooby-Doo and Courage the Cowardly Dog is slated. The one that's coming out prior to that is Scooby-Doo and the Sword and the Scoob.
Oh.
I could have called that fucking anything.
Yeah.
I think they get transported back to medieval
and
times.
They call it Sword and the Scoob.
Sword and the Scoob, baby. It's in the style of Scooby-Doo and the like the Return to Zombie Island.
Oh.
Scooby-Doo and the Goblin King.
I was excited right up until I remembered the word return in that sentence.
Remember that? They did that 2 years ago. They returned to Zombie Island.
We own that DVD.
That was bad.
It's bad.
But the animation
it's bad.
Fine.
It's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, you should never go back. There's no reason to go back.
They could have gone back. They could have, but they decided to throw that shit away. They were like, nope. Forget everything that made Zombie Island good.
Apparently, Scooby-Doo, the Sword and the Scoob was originally titled Scooby-Doo in King Arthur's Court.
I knew it was going to be a King Arthur thing. There's no way it wasn't going to be.
No. Yeah.
The premise is Morgan Le Fay sends the gang back in time to the days of Camelot where they meet King Arthur and Merlin. Shaggy accidentally releases Excalibur, causing chaos in the land, leading the gang to go on a rescue mission when Shaggy is kidnapped.
Isn't Morgan Le Fay the villain in King Arthur's Court?
I believe so.
Yes, he is.
So, There's that shit. I don't know. If it comes out, we'll watch it and we'll do a review.
Yeah,
God damn it. No, don't make these shitty promises.
Nah, we will.
So the big question I have for it is, so the villains so far that have been listed are Cats, the Quack, Black Puddle Queen, which are three that, okay, you could see them coming back to do something. Wermal, I'm not sure really there's much of a plot point for that one.
Yeah, Mito, I don't need that one.
I can do that. Cajun Fox, yeah. He's,
this is a fan fiction, Tim.
Yeah, fuck, this is the Godfather of all fan fictions, dude.
There is no episode coming. It's just a fan fiction.
It sounds about right. That's all I have. So.
Oh yeah, and that's all, folks. See you later.
You just jump through a wall or something.
Yeah, I wish. I wish I jumped.
God. Yeah, and with that, we'll be back next month with another gripping episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog's official pod. We're not the official podcast. No. Liquid Courage.
Never be
Liquid Courage podcast. Not official.
Yeah.
Not official. Don't own it.
Could be.
Nope. We had to pay.
Want to pay us?
They're not going to pay us to do it.
Fine. Yeah, anyway, we'll be back next month with another episode of Liquid Courage. It'll be the end of season two. Be excited. Be hype. Clearly, we are.
Hey, man, I am fucking trying.
I'm ready for the Tower of what's the
Power. Yeah, I gotcha.
You got it. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. Be excited. I promise we'll be better.
Listen, the Scooby-Doo news made me not so excited.
Yeah, right? That one kind of fucking zapped me. Thanks for that.
Thanks. We had to make it to an hour.
You did the one where we'd be watching it.
Yeah, but, you know, we have to. It's our job that we don't get paid for.
Mm. Anyways, we should end here before it gets any more depressing. Jesus,
it's not depressing. Good. It's fun. We'll see you next month. Bye. I love you all.
Bye. Bye.
That was the Liquid Courage Podcast, an in-depth look at every episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog. Music was provided by Visionless. You can find them at www.soundcloud.com/visionll3ss. We do not own the rights to Courage the Cowardly Dog. Until next time, have a wonderful night.